This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is, hang on, let me just bring up my notes here, Douglas Valentine. He is the author of The Phoenix Program, and his most recent book is titled The CIA as Organized Crime. His website is douglasvalentine.com, and I think that we have him. Do we have it? Okay, now I do that. Yes. Turn on video. Okay. I'm turning my... Okay, here I am. Okay. Here we are. Okay. Alrighty. Well, welcome. I'm hearing a lot of squeaking. Okay, we're gonna call our guest back to get a better connection. So we'll be right back with you. Anyway, our guest has a wonderful, wonderful book. It's called CIA as Organized Crime. And if you've ever read anything about him or read his or gone to his website, he wrote The Phoenix Program, which is an absolutely incredible book. And it talks about the situation, the CIA, what they did in Vietnam, and the killing and the terrorism that they perpetuated there is just absolutely incredible, the things that they did. And it's a book that you really want to read. And of course, his new book, which is also wonderful. Okay, can you see me? Can you see me well enough here?
I can see you.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you so very much for joining us today.
It's
my pleasure, yes. It's just absolutely wonderful. I was just talking about the Phoenix Program, and I'm hoping that that people will be able to purchase your new book. And that new book, tell us a little bit about your new book.
Okay, it's called The CIA as Organized Crime, and it's divided into four general areas. The first one talks about the CIA's Phoenix program in Vietnam, and it's based on interviews I did with a lot of CIA officers who were involved in the Phoenix program and the various programs that it coordinated. Phoenix was a methodology, a mechanism for coordinating all the police, intelligence, and military programs in South Vietnam. And it was managed by the CIA, and it was focused against the civilians who were supporting the armed guerrillas in South Vietnam. It was focused against what was called the shadow government. These people were not armed guerrillas. They weren't part of the North Vietnam. They were like a political organization, and they served all the they did all the kinds of things that anybody in a government did. And the United States government realized it was losing the Vietnam War because it wasn't able to destroy this shadow government. So it directed the CIA to create the Phoenix Program, and the CIA organized all these different parts of the police and intelligence and military against them. And in the first part of the book, I show how the Phoenix Program has become the model for the war on terror. And there's absolutely no disputing that. Right after Vietnam War, a lot of the people who are in the Phoenix program went to Latin America, and they set it up there. It was called the Salvador Option in Latin America. And they've transported it all around the world. I show how it's the model for how the CIA manages its counterinsurgencies in Iraq and Afghanistan and a lot of other places. The second part of the book is devoted to the CIA's involvement in management of international drug trafficking And
And
I've actually written two books about that, The Strength of the Wolf and The Strength of the Pack, which show, which were based on interviews with CIA officers and a lot of federal narcotic agents. It shows how over time, it shows how the Bureau, originally the Bureau of Narcotics, which was created in 1930, how agents from this Bureau of Narcotics actually participated and were instrumental in creating the CIA and before that the OSS, and how the relationship between the organizational relationship between the CIA and federal narcotic agents they were basically one and the same from the very beginning. And in 1969, when Nixon became president, the CIA virtually commandeered federal drug law enforcement. At the time, the CIA was involved in a very big scandal. It was controlling all the drugs that were coming out of the Golden Triangle area of Thailand, Laos, and Burma. It was actually supporting its secret army in Laos with drug money, and a lot of that money was coming from South Vietnam. The CIA was actually moving Laotian opium and heroin into South Vietnam, where it was being sold to American soldiers, and this became quite a big scandal. And of course, there's some indication that it was even one of the motivations for the Watergate scandal that brought Nixon down. But anyway, there's no disputing that the CIA is involved in drug trafficking. Al McCoy made it clear in his book, The Politics of Heroin in Southeast Asia. Later on, Gary Webb exposed the CIA's involvement in the Iran-Contra drug scandal. And of course, since 2001, the CIA has been moving all the drugs out of Afghanistan, and all the major warlords that are working for the United States government in Afghanistan are all the major heroin traffickers there, and 90% of the world's heroin for the last 15 years has come out of Afghanistan, and that's all because the CIA is managing the drug traffic. And in the second part of the book, I tell exactly how that happens. The third part of the book is about Homeland Security, and it shows how the CIA's Phoenix program, well, not only became the model for the war on terror, and how the United States polices its empire around the world, but it shows that exactly how organizationally the Phoenix program became the model for the Department of Homeland Security. And it shows the involvement of senior CIA officers who were involved in the Phoenix program, how they helped to establish the Department of Homeland Security. And in one particular instance, I talk about a guy named Bruce Lawler, who was a CIA officer in Vietnam, and I track his career and show how it was no mistake that he became the first chief of staff for the Department of Homeland Security. And I show how all the mechanisms, including what were called intelligence operations and coordinating centers, the Phoenix program set up one of these intelligence operations and coordinating centers in every province and every district in South Vietnam. There were 44 provinces, which were like states, and there were 244 districts, and they were like counties. And the CIA set up a Phoenix center in every one of them. Well, I show exactly how the Department of Homeland Security's fusion centers functioned exactly like these Phoenix intelligence operations and coordinating centers, and they do everything exactly the same way. And it's a little too detailed to get into it in a summary like this, but if you want to know how, read the book. And the fourth part of this new book, The CIA is Organized Crime, discusses in detail the CIA's relationship with the media and how at the highest levels, the CIA and the media are the same people and they have exactly the same objectives, and how nothing that the CIA could do could ever be done if the media wasn't covering for the CIA. The CIA is a secret organization. There's laws that forbid people from naming CIA officers or talking about what they're doing. But the media is perfectly well aware of all this. It knows everything that the CIA is doing. It's not secret from them. It's the media's job to keep it secret from the public so that the CIA can continue to conduct the war on terror, not on the behalf of average Americans. The CIA is not a social services organization. It serves our rulers, the 1%, the arms, the people who own the arms industry, the people who own the media industry, the people who own the oil industry. It basically is their mafia. Anything illegal that they need to have done, the CIA goes out and does. And there's, you know, people talk about conspiracy theory, but in this book, in the fourth part of the book, I explain exactly how it works. And it's not a secret. And all the facts are there for anybody to see and for everybody to know. And we all know it intuitively, but if you want to spend a couple hours reading this book, I'll map it all out. So that's basically what the book is. There's a short introduction in which I discuss with a couple of other interviewers, people who interviewed me, how it was exactly that I was able to get all the interviews that I had, starting with William Coldley, who had been a director of Central Intelligence, a guy who had headed the CIA for many years. He had been the guy that ran the Phoenix program in South Vietnam for a while. And in a short introduction, people wonder how I got all this information. Well, I explained how William Coldley, why he decided to help me and why he introduced me to so many CIA officers that I ended up interviewing. And it was, by the time I was finished, it was over 100. And of course, I interviewed a lot of federal narcotic agents as well. And I explained in the introduction how I got to meet all of them as well. So it's kind of the book itself is kind of a summary of all the issues I've been writing about for the past 30 years, and explains how my research methods and how I was able to do this.
Which is an amazing feat that you were able to do this. And these fusion centers and the Homeland Security, I mean, I think people were led to believe that Homeland Security was to protect the homeland. And, you know, we've had this terrible attack in 9/11, and so now we have to protect the homeland. And yet, that's just a big farce. It was really so that they could bring drugs in, which is amazing. I mean, and of course, because the CIA also runs the media. And several years ago, back in 1977, there were 300 CIA agents who were involved in the media. I'm sure that number has grown since that time, correct?
I'm sorry, you know, I'm a little hard of hearing, so I didn't hear everything you said, but there's no question that the CIA is able to use the Department of Homeland Security for a lot of covert operations. It's infiltrated the Department of Homeland Security, and if it wanted to, it could well use the Department of Homeland Security to move drugs in and out of the United States. It can do. It was already doing that with the DEA for decades anyway. But now the Department of Homeland Security simply provides another layer of deniability for the CIA. And it's just another layer of law enforcement and a really super sophisticated layer of unnecessary law enforcement that's been laid upon the American people. I mean, there really is. There's more of a threat of dying of a bee sting than there is of terrorism in the United States. I mean, it really is unnecessary, except for giving the federal government more control over you, over average everyday people, in a million different ways. And it's the Department of Homeland Security is staffed largely by really people who are dangerous ideologues who do not have your interests at heart, but are serving, you know, the same people that the CIA works for, the big industrialists. You know, they're not out to protect you. They're out to surveil you, to watch you, to monitor you. And if you start stepping out of line, they have all the resources necessary to, you know, they can trump up charges against you if they want. It's all the same sort of things. It's exactly the same sort of things that the CIA did in South Vietnam to put down the counterinsurgency there. And it means frightening as many people as possible into line.
Now, what did they do with the people in South Vietnam? Did they kill them? I know they sprayed Agent Orange all over. What kinds of things are they doing to Americans that would be comparable to what they did in Vietnam?
Okay, there's two things that go on, major things.
Okay, we have a real quick break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Okay, be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Is Douglas Valentine. He is the author of The Phoenix Program and his most and several other books. But his most recent book is The CIA as Organized Crime. His website is douglasvalentine.com, and there's all kinds of files online. And anyway, he provides so many resources. So what about some of the politicians that have been involved, like Bush and Mena Airport, and you mentioned Gary Webb, and who supposedly committed suicide?
Were you asking me which politicians are involved?
Yes, you were. Talk about like Mena Airport. With the Clintons, weren't they into this big time? Hillary and Bill?
I'm sorry, I was having a hard time hearing what you said.
Like the Mena Airport?
Oh, Mena Airport. Yes. Okay, yeah. Well, I didn't know a whole lot about that. I know what was said to have happened there, but I never actually did an investigation there myself. I wrote an introduction to Terry Reed's book, who wrote a book about Mena, but I myself did not investigate that particular aspect of it. That's not something that I refer to in any of my books. There's only so much any one particular writer can do, other guys covered that. So unfortunately, I can't talk about Mena. I can hear you, yes. We seem to have lost our connection.
That's that cat.
Okay.
And looks around. Okay. That's from a German movie called Mein Kampf. It was a horrible movie, by the way.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
It was horrible.
And then the communism by the back door, as Deanna just mentioned, was a couple of the segments which you both have talked about, or give one a pretty rough ride, the music section in particular.
Sure.
And the one that really blew me out the door was was the one.
Okay. Okay, so sorry, folks. We're just having some technical difficulties here. We've got to get our guest back on. I'm sure that you're very interested in what he has to say, and his book is just absolutely terrific, and I recommend it highly. And he does talk about the fusion centers, which I think are really important to learn about. And
hello.
Well, I don't know. We're under attack today, but thank you. I'm sorry about that. We're just having some difficulties. So anyway, let me ask you about the fusion centers and they can't watch everybody. Why are they watching the average citizen? And how many fusion centers are we talking about?
Well, I think there's probably a lot of reasons, and a lot of them have to do with the direction that the country's going in, and the fact that there's more people than ever before. There's thought to be a problem with immigration, with millions of immigrants. There's thought to be a problem with the Muslim community. There's thought to be a lot of, especially now that Trump has been elected, there's certainly going to be a lot of demonstrations against the Trump administration. And after 9/11, all these things were anticipated. The security forces in the United States are like 20 years ahead of the rest of us. They know how things are going to develop. And so the Department of Homeland Security was put in place 15 years ago as a precaution, so that when social and political conditions in the United States reached a boiling point, there would be an apparatus in place that would be able to deal with it. And it's this Phoenix Program apparatus that's the most effective. And so the Phoenix Program apparatus was put in place in the United States. And again, in South Vietnam, Phoenix relied on what was called intelligence operations coordinating centers. You get, first step is to get intelligence. And this is done in modern society a lot by monitoring people's internet activity.
Wow.
It's also done the old-fashioned way, which is by having informants. And the problem in South Vietnam, and also in the United States prior to 9/11, is that every police agency, the FBI, the DEA, even the military, they all had informants in the United States, but they were not sharing.
So we're going to a real quick break. I'm sorry, Doug. We're going to a real quick break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-8...
And our guest today is Douglas Valentine. He is the author of The Phoenix Program and most recently The CIA as Organized Crime. His website is douglasvalentine.com. And you were talking about gathering of intelligence. And I think Facebook and some of the social media is probably one of the most effective ways of their gathering of intelligence without much effort.
Sure, but the most, and the CIA agents, officers I spoke with explained this to me. I mean, monitoring people's social internet activities is okay up to a point, but you need informants. And that's what the Fusion Center does, is it has access to everybody's informants. Not just a local police station, but also the FBI, the DEA, the sheriff's department, the military intelligence, everybody who's involved in any agency, whether it's law enforcement or an intelligence agency or a military unit in the United States, any of them that have informants, all that information is available to the people who run a fusion center. So it's an incredible way of centralizing all the intelligence that's gathered about Americans, civilians. But it's also a way of conducting operations. Once you have informants, you can penetrate all sorts of organizations. So you can send informants into like mosques, or you can send them into an immigrant community, or you can send them into, for example, the Oath Keepers, or any kind of militia group that's functioning around the United States. Plus, which the fusion centers work with civic institutions. They have any industry that's part of what's called the critical infrastructure, whether it's a computer corporation or whether it's the arms industry, any private civic group, the fusion centers have informants inside of all of them as well. So they can monitor everything that's going on, not just in the public sphere, but in the civic and economic sphere as well. And all of this is coordinated and fantastically super fast computers at each fusion center. And once you have informants inside all these organizations, you can conduct operations against these organizations. You can turn these informants into agents in place, and they can do things to disrupt these organizations. They can be used to provoke an incident. And if they provoke an incident, which is exactly what happened in South Vietnam, whenever the government wanted to destroy an organization that it thought might not be 100% politically correct, it would simply have one of its informants provoke an incident, and that brings in the operations part of the fusion center, which is SWAT teams, which is tanks that have sound weapons that can burst your eardrums. It's a million different things which everybody's aware of, but these fusion centers coordinated all. They coordinate all the intelligence gathering, and they coordinate all the any kind of operations that's called for, whether it's a police operation, whether it's an FBI type operation or a DEA type operation. NORTHCOM, which is the military command here in the United States, also has representatives at the fusion centers. And most of all, you know, because there's no more real distinction between foreign operations and domestic operations, the CIA is involved. The CIA is monitoring anybody that it considers a threat to national security in the United States. It's also working with the fusion centers. So these places are like really a focal point for the people who are our hidden rulers, the people who are who run our industries, who own our industries in concert with federal politicians and people like the CIA. It's the most, it's truly sophisticated, far more sophisticated than most of us can imagine, but it brings together all the powers of the government in one place in each state.
Now, you talked about having machines that could burst somebody's eardrum. Are you suggesting that they have weapons that they would use against citizens, electronic devices?
Any weapon. I mean, they have them. They have them at Standing Rock right now. I mean, there's photographs of these sound weapons mounted on armored personnel carriers at Standing Rock right now. I mean, they're out there on the internet. But it's the idea is that anybody who's a member of a fusion center, and every law enforcement agency and every security agency, the FBI, all of them, send a representative to the fusion center. And if there's people there who make a decision, well, what kind of weapon do we need? Well, they're all available to the fusion center. So, and they're all available on a moment's notice. And the most important weapon that they have is the media. The most important weapon that's used against the United States is psychological warfare. It's making us assume it's, you know, I mean, nowadays they call it fake news. You know, I mean, that's sort of a hot topic. But the fusion centers and all the agencies that they're coordinating are a source of, information for all of us. And the kind of information that they pass to us is very carefully edited, so that all they tell us is what they want us to know. I mean, there's so much of what they do that's secret, and of course they don't want us to know any of that. We're not allowed to know who their informants are or how they organize themselves, but they can tell us anything they want about what they're doing. And so we're really, in the first place, made to fear them and to think that they can control us, which is exactly what they wanted to do in South Vietnam. The whole idea was to make people be so afraid that they feel they have no alternative but to become collaborators with the people who are ruling us, that you're so afraid of them and that they have so much power that you'll automatically help them and contribute to them and ultimately become an informant yourself and start ratting out anybody that doesn't think the way that they're supposed to think. And they tell you exactly what it is, the way you're supposed to think. And then they monitor everything you do and make sure that you're not only thinking correctly, but you're behaving correctly. So those kind of psychological operations are the most powerful weapon that they have to shape your assumptions about the world, to make you think and feel a certain way, and to do it on cue. And of course, we're also plugged in to the TV and to the internet. And most of the information that we get is, you know, I mean, other than, you know, from a few alternative sites, is all telling us the same thing about the world all the time. They tell us who our enemies are. They tell us who to fear. They tell us who to like. And those are the most important weapons that they have, the control over the information we receive and how that, in order to make us, using that information to make us think and feel in particular ways. And you really have to be very careful, you know, about believing everything that you see and hear. And you have to form your own opinions yourself and try to get information elsewhere. And one of the most important things to do is to find out how the government is structuring itself here at home. And if you want to learn about how they're doing it and why they're doing it, you can get some helpful hints in my book, which, like that third part, is about Homeland Security, is specifically about it, and it's based on interviews I did with people who are involved with it.
Which is amazing. You have conducted so many interviews with so many people, and you have gotten so much information that you've shared. How did you manage to talk to these people without them, and why did they divulge so many things to you?
Well, it started a long time ago, and I wrote a book about my father, who'd been in World War II. He was a combat soldier in World War II. He was also a prisoner of war in the Philippines in a Japanese camp, and he was involved in, he had terrible experiences, and I wrote a book about that. And when I wanted to start researching the CIA, I sent that book, which is called The Hotel Top Lobin. I sent it to William Colby, who had been also had been a soldier in World War II. He'd been in the OSS, and he parachuted into France as, the OSS preceded the CIA. And I sent him a copy of that book I wrote about my father, and Colby really liked it. And that book convinced him that I understood what it meant to be a soldier. And the guys in the CIA is a military organization, and most members of the CIA, CIA officers, had been soldiers at one point in their life. And Colby felt that I could do a good job of writing about the CIA because I knew what it meant to be a soldier, plus which my father had had very extraordinary experience as a soldier. And Colby felt that based on my understanding of these extraordinary experiences that my father had, that I would understand the extraordinary kind of experiences that CIA officers had. And I told him I wanted to write a book that was basically describe how Phoenix was created organizationally. And he liked that. I wasn't going to get into necessarily all the lurid details. And so he started introducing me to senior CIA officers who had been involved in the Phoenix program and the various programs that Phoenix coordinated. Like I said, Phoenix is a coordinating mechanism. It was created by a guy who was a magna cum laude graduate of Yale University, who was considered an organizational genius, and he created the Phoenix program based on the way Ford Motor Company organizes itself. And so once I started talking to these very senior CIA officers, they just started referring me to other senior CIA.
Wow.
So pretty soon I had inside information about the CIA. Of course, they were all very upset with me when the book came out because I did not portray them as heroes, which is, the way they want to be portrayed. And,
sure.
I portrayed them as basically guys who, if they hadn't been working for the United States government, would be mercenaries. They would be burglars, or they'd be, in the mafia. I mean, these are people who are, a lot of them, half of them are basically psychopaths, and then the other half are in management and are controlling them. And so they were a little disappointed in that. And I also, discuss in the book how Colby and all these CIA officers, when they were, when the book came out and they got mad at me, used all their contacts, all their really senior contacts in the media to censor my books. Because, you know, they can do that. They, if they want, if you write a book that's that, you know, presents the CIA as the CIA officers as heroes, well, then you're going to get a good review in the New York Times. But if you write a book that is critical of the CIA and exposes all its horrible crimes, and well, you can be sure that the CIA is going to call up the publisher of the New York Times and say, kill this book. And that's the way it works in the United States. If you go around revealing the government's biggest secrets, and the biggest secret, of course, is that the CIA functions as the organized crime branch of the United States government, and it manages the international drug trade and the international arms trade. If you go around talking about that, well, you can be pretty sure your book is not going to be a number one bestseller. People know all this stuff, but you're not supposed to talk about it. And if you do talk about it, you get punished because the CIA basically runs the media.
Wow. Now, they have agents that operate within the media, correct?
Absolutely. They have every major publisher, every major Hollywood studio. They all have a person who's in liaison with the CIA, and every major newspaper. There's a reason that nobody ever writes stories in the New York Times or in Breitbart or in Fox News or any major newspaper or media outlet that reveals what the CIA is doing, because the CIA basically is editing everything that these people put out. The CIA has a person at Fox, at CBS, sitting on their at their highest level of their editorial department that makes sure that nobody's ever revealing CIA secrets. I mean, that's just how it works. And if you say nice things about the CIA, then you get good reviews. And if you say bad things about the CIA, or you reveal its secrets, or you show how it's actually not serving the average man and woman and family in the United States, but is serving our masters, you know, the Rockefellers and Goldman Sachs and the people who own the arms industry and the 1% of the 1%. I mean, the CIA is basically their private militia. And it's working around the world to subvert governments that it wants to overthrow and prop up insurgencies where it wants to prop up insurgency. I mean, there's no secret that the CIA supports terrorist organizations around the world. You're just not allowed to say it. And every news organization makes sure that you don't say it. And again, a program like the Phoenix program never would have succeeded if it hadn't been for the fact that the press corps in Vietnam kept it quiet. You know, and it's the same thing that's happening all around the world today. The CIA could not do all the things that it's doing secretly around the world if the media wasn't covering its ass.
Wow. All righty, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Be right back.
Okay.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Douglas Valentine, the author of The CIA as Organized Crime. His website is douglasvalentine.com. Now, in Vietnam, they moved people around. It was amazing. They took all these people from the south, took them up north, or took them from the north and took them south. And they put two different types of people together who didn't get along with the anticipation that there would be chaos as a result, right?
Well, yeah, and, especially since 9/11, I think it's pretty well understood that there were a lot of secret rules and laws and decrees were passed. You know, I'm sure you've heard of continuity of government. You know, and
yes.
We still today don't know all the measures that exist that have not been rescinded. And that were put in place after 9/11. And a lot of those, there's certainly plenty of indications that a lot of those secret decrees and rules and border on martial law. You know, certainly the country was placed under martial law right after 9/11. But certainly since then, the CIA, which, you know, is my area of expertise, and which has infiltrated every federal agency. It's infiltrated the FBI, it's infiltrated the DEA, it's infiltrated ICE, Immigration and Customs. It has, CIA officers don't walk around with a badge that says, hi, I'm with the CIA. They're always operating undercover. Well, since 9/11, they've their informants and their agents and their assets have been working all across the United States in hundreds and hundreds of different manifestations. They've infiltrated Congress. They have all of the congressional staffs have somebody on them, just like a CIA officer who functions the same way that a CIA officer functions at the New York Times or at Fox News. They tell the congressman what they can say and what they can't say and what violates national security and what doesn't. So our whole government and civic society has just been totally commandeered by this most secret and dangerous organization. And you don't know about it because they've made it illegal to talk about it. And if you talk about it, like me, the best you can hope for is that nobody ever listens to you, you know, and that you remain, you know, that you remain a nobody forever. Because if it ever actually became clear to what extent this secret organization controls the United States government and its civic institutions and its industries, I mean, people would just be stunned to realize how little control you have, not only over your own lives, but over the kind of information that you're fed every day in a million different ways. You know, I mean, everything was in.
Wow. Well, okay, that's the end of the program, or the end of this hour. Thank you so very much, Jeff, for being on the program, and please stay safe.
Okay. Be safe. Bye, Gio.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.